It's Friday night, and it's the 24th of April, and I thought I'd start a tape to tonight. I know I can make four tracks, but I don't know that I'll make all four. I mean, I don't know that I'll tell you everything I have to tell you tonight. I'll probably make another tape tomorrow or something like that. There were two tapes waiting for me. One apparently was waylaid in the mail a little bit because it was dated April 5th, and in that tape you were telling me about receiving the dress for Cynthia and all. And I thought I had mentioned to Alice that I had received the information on the Holy Land, but I forgot. And I did receive her letter thanking me for the birthday gifts. I'm glad she liked them. And thanks for sending Kathy's down. I did send a pair of rosy beads in a case to Johnny for confirmation. And I guess that's about it along that line. Anyhow, of course, it seems like I have so much to tell you, really, that I don't know where to begin. And I guess you might get, I did write down a lot. I have something to tell you. All of a sudden, the tape stopped, and it was the electricity, you know, on and off. Just a second. You know, all of a sudden, I looked at the meter, and it went down. I can't explain to you what it's like. You'd have to see it. I guess I'll bring one home just as a souvenir. I will see if this is loud enough now. Well, anyhow, if I neglected to mention anything that you said on the tape and all, then please accept my apologies. But with listening to four tracks today, I kind of might have forgotten a few things. So I'll tell you what I can about my trip, and then if there is still more to tell you after I get finished four tracks, and I'll make the rest of it tomorrow. As I told you, I left the 17th Friday, and I did get a hop to West Malling, which is about an hour and a half ride outside of London. And it's in Kent, if that means anything to you. It didn't mean anything to me, but it's in Kent anyway. I remember seeing Kent, England. But I had to get over at the airport at 7 o'clock, over at our base airport, and Chris was on a standby basis. But the fellows seemed pretty certain that I'd get on. And it was a flight in a C-130. And that really is a cargo plane, but it has bucket seats along the side, sort of like stretchers, you know, canvas seats. And they're not very comfortable. But after all, it's a free ride, and that was the most comfortable part of it all. And one of the passengers was a Lieutenant Commander Ryan, who was going up to England on leave. His wife was flying up commercially from Gibraltar, and he was going to meet her up there. And so he's a very quiet man, but very pleasant, and he sort of looked out for me, actually. And I think the flying time was about 3.5 hours. We left at 9 o'clock, and then, you know, when you go on a hop, you have to be there about 2 hours ahead of time. We left at 9 o'clock, and we got there around 12:30, I think, something like that. And they had a little place where we could go in and get a cup of coffee and a hamburger, and a bus that would take us into the city. So, anyhow, we stopped and we had a cup of coffee, and as I was walking out, I heard a voice yell, "Hey there!" And I turned around and looked, and who was it but one of the doctors I had been on MSTS with in 1959, was it? Bob Reardon, who had, after he got off the ship, went on to become a flight surgeon and is now stationed in West Malling. So he came over and we chatted and sat and had a cup of coffee again. And he had asked me how I was doing and all and where I was. And he said he had been down here not so long ago, and he would have looked me up had he known. And then he told me that if I came back in through London, to be sure and call him. So I said that I would. I never particularly liked him when he was on board ship because he was pretty much a self-centered individual, but he was very nice. And as I say, I thought it was quite nice of him to come over and talk. And he wanted to know if I had heard from Farley Granger and or from Alma, you know, the old crew that we all hear from. And it seems we all remember one another anyway, if nothing else. So it was quite a surprise to see someone I knew, although I should be used to it by this time. So, then we got on the bus and drove into West Malling. I hope you don't mind a blow-by-blow description of this. Maybe as I go on, I'll get tired of telling you all these little incidents, but it's the little incidents that make it interesting. And I must say I was quite pleasantly surprised with the countryside of England. It was very green, and the houses all looked well-kept. The farmlands, of course, but the houses in the city, too. This is, you know, going into London. They looked very nice and neat, and many of them were quite a bit alike, although they were made of brick. And it seemed that every little house, of course, they say this about people in Britain anyway, that every little house had its own garden in the front, and no matter how small, it was just a patch of ground, and the houses are close together. I guess no country in the world really has the space for houses like we have. And they had daffodils growing, because we don't see daffodils down here. We see more exotic types of flowers, like the calla lily and geraniums that grow out wild in the fields, practically. But you don't see the spring flowers like daffodils or tulips. And it was a very pleasant sight as we rode along to see that. And I couldn't help but think it was quite a bit like New England. As I say, everything was quite neat. And we passed one church, and there was a sign up in the church, on the front of the church. It was a Protestant church of some sort. I don't know what denomination. But we kind of laughed at the sign. It said, "This church for sinners only." And then as we went along, we saw another sign. And at first, I didn't quite know what they were. But, of course, gambling and betting and all is legalized in the British Isles. And we saw signs on windows, Tommy Madden, turf accountant. And it took me a while to realize, well, not very long, but to realize a turf accountant was British for a bookie. So you'll have to tell our turf accountants in town that they have a more respectable title in England. And, of course, a city going to London, the city's like any city. We passed St. Giles Hospital. St. Giles Hospital is like a Bellevue. I mean, to the British, St. Giles is like Bellevue. I don't mean that they're all charity cases, but it's a well-known English medical center. And, of course, I had real milk. You can drink the milk in London and in Ireland and in the Netherlands, so I had milk. I suppose they looked at me a bit queerly going up and saying, "I'll have a glass of milk." And the bus took us to the Navy Building, which is right in the center of town. I can't exactly tell you where, but it's Paddock, or Paddington, I guess, around the Paddington area. And honestly, I can't tell you what a marvelous reception that we did receive. I went in and told a woman that I was, you know, on leave and that I was trying to find out how I could get to Ireland. And she was very pleasant, and she, in fact, as a matter of fact, much to my surprise, I found the English quite nice. Now, I don't mean it the way it sounds, but I had always thought of them as being without a sense of humor and not particularly friendly, but maybe after being in Spain for a while, I expect so little that when someone does make an effort, that I'm very impressed. But they really did make an effort. She had one of the secretaries take me next door to a travel agency who looked up a flight schedule and immediately made a reservation for me for that night, a 6 o'clock flight out to Dublin. And, of course, I forgot that once you get over into the British Isles, if you have a name like Shea, you're almost immediately O'Shea. And from the time I left until the time I returned, I was O'Shea. So I've gotten so that I answer to it, you know, without thinking about it very much. However, as I say, they were very, very nice in the Navy Building. And